How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Can everybody hear me fine, or do we need to use this mic? We all good? We'll go ahead and get started. And so we definitely want this to be interactive. You know, I don't want to just be up here speaking, right? I mean, I'll bring forth, you know, obviously the topics, but let's all talk about it. I don't mind if you interrupt me, if you want to get involved, if you have something you got to say, it doesn't bother me at all. I want us all to kind of just talk amongst ourselves about the topics. But we obviously thank you all for coming. Thank you for being part of the first class in this series. Thank you all for y'all's time. We'll go ahead and start out in prayer, and then we'll go ahead and get into it here. But Lord, we thank you and praise you, God, for an opportunity, God, to be here this morning, God. Lord, an opportunity, God, to speak on your word, God, to discuss it, God, amongst believers, God. God, I pray that this word goes forth in this place, God, and that it strengthens us, that it encourages us, God, and that it draws us deeper with you, God. And we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in shaping Christ-like character. The role of the Holy Spirit in shaping Christ-like character. And I'll try to center these the best I can, but we're going to start off with some pretty basic stuff up front. But I got some questions right out the gate. How do we think the Holy Ghost can play a part in shaping our behavior? How do we think the Holy Ghost can play a part in shaping our behavior? Pretty wide, pretty broad question, but
it nudges you and let you know you're right or you're wrong with something. You'll have that gut feeling.
Amen. Anybody else? How do we think the Holy Ghost can play a part in shaping us, shaping our character, shaping our behavior?
It helps shape the fruit of the Spirit growing inside of you. Like, it helps you temper, you know, watch your temper and self-control and being loved and kind. I mean, it's part of guiding you through your life.
Amen. It helps you keep you in checks and balances, right? Anybody can tell us of a time where you knew the Holy Ghost led you into a different direction than what you wanted to go in? And what was the outcome of that because of your obedience to the Holy Ghost? It don't have to be nothing crazy personal, right? But is there any time that you may have had to deal with a situation and you wanted to do it a way, but the Holy Ghost said, no, I want you to do it this way, and then God worked that out? May require a little bit of thinking on that one, but or just if you want to speak on it, maybe not directly related to a situation. Yes, sir.
There have been times in my life, and I'm sure that there have been everybody's life, that you stand and look at a fork in the road.
Mm-hmm.
You ask yourself, which way do I go? And it's not the fact that you are there and trying to say, well, I know the answer. Because a lot of times I don't know the answer. I don't know which way to go. But it is a definite define, do I go left, do I go right? And I have always, in those decisions, and all the ways in those, and I know we all do, but it's a time that we say, Lord, I got to have guidance.
Amen.
I've got to have direction. I've got to have, I can make a choice, but I don't want to make the wrong choice.
Right.
And I've had many times in my life that God has helped me to go. And I look back, and when I look back, I say, thank you, Lord, because I know this was the right direction. And I know that's the Holy Ghost.
Right.
That's
Amen.
The power of the Lord in our life.
Yeah.
Amen. And we've all had that experience. Absolutely. How has the Holy Ghost shaped your life? How has being obedient to it shaped your life? Well, I guess
kept me out of a lot of trouble.
Amen. So I think it's kept us all out of a lot of trouble. A lot of, like you said, making the right decision that really could alter our lives, that really could change everything. You know, when we moved here, that was a huge one for us. We don't have anybody here. We left family, friends. We were very comfortable. We didn't have to. Well, we were very comfortable. We didn't need to leave, but I felt the drawing to go deeper and. This was the direction that God put us in, right? So that was difficult. Like Brother Eddie said, I had to know, like, yes or no, is this right or is this wrong? And thank God for his direction. But what is the Holy Ghost? Again, this is basic, you know, to get to the lesson. But the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God that was poured out on the day of Pentecost to believers. Acts 2:1-4 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again in Acts 2 and 16, it says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. But the Holy Ghost was sent to be a teacher, and it was sent to be an intercessor for God's people. John 14 and 15 through 26. I'll go ahead and read that. I didn't have it pulled up. My apologies. I'm trying to read it fast too. So, but also for you to understand 14 and 15. I don't know if I'll read the whole thing, but he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, capital C, and he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And I wanted to highlight that, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The infilling of the Holy Ghost. It's not just an outward impression on you, but it is internal. It is guiding you. It's your internal compass of kind of what you said, you know, your gut feeling, what you feel is right, what you feel is wrong. It's the direction that God has taken you. But even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So the Comforter, verse 26, the Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Ghost, the word Comforter, it translates into meaning intercessor, consoler, advocate. It's one who pleads another case before a judge. And I think that's very powerful. It's a helper. It's an assistant. You think about in a courtroom setting, you know, the pastor just talked about it, you know, on Easter, about Jesus stepping in and paying that price. Jesus stepping in and being that intercessor for you in your life. That's what the Holy Ghost is to us. That's how the Holy Ghost leads us. Yes, sir.
Talking about the Comforter there. You know, the Holy Ghost, you know, the Bible teaches that he'll give you comfort beyond all understanding. You don't understand how you can have comfort. And, you know, several years back when my son committed suicide, the grief was just so, just about unbearable. But then I was like, Lord, you are the Comforter. And somehow during all that time, you get comfort. You don't understand how you can feel comfort. And that's the power of the Holy Ghost as a comforter in your life. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And that's strong. You know, it'll get you through those situations, and it's easy to talk about it, right? It's easy to say that God's the comforter until you really truly need him to be that comforter. Until you truly need him to be that advocate, that intercessor, exactly what he is. He is your defense. Yes, ma'am.
I think that's where we can have that peace that goes beyond understanding, where we can have peace in a situation that people around us go, how are you not upset? How are you not worried? How are you not? You can have peace because of that.
Amen. And it's similar. You know, we've laughed about it at my expense, but you know, when my house got broken into and they stole everything, I remember my dad coming by the house. You know, and he's not a believer like I am, and my house is just in disarray. They came over just to check it all, and he says, "I don't know how you're calm. I don't know how you're at peace right now." You know, and that was a church night. I got ready and I went right to church. Didn't even have time to clean the house. I got my clothes on and went right to the house of God. But that stood out to him as how are you not going crazy, right? How are you not falling apart? You just got everything stole from you, right? So how we stand in those situations. And maybe I'd have did something different if I didn't have the Holy Ghost. Maybe I would have, I mean, the old me, I know what I would have done. But we've been changed. Thank God for that. But we're going to talk about five roles of the Holy Spirit in shaping our character. Number one being obviously changing our character. Two being transformation is fruit. Three, having the mind of Christ. Four, the Spirit brings conviction. And five is community over isolation. So changing our character. Christ-like character isn't about forced outward compliance, but rather an internal transformation of our hearts. And the Bible says in Psalms 51 and 5, it says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So our nature is carnal. My nature is carnal. My thoughts are carnal. My reasoning is carnal. My flesh is carnal. And Isaiah 55:9, the Bible says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So if we simply go off of our internal compass, if we simply go off what we think is right or wrong, we are going to come up short and we are going to be misled. The Holy Ghost was sent to the church to be a teacher, and it was sent to be an advocate unto us. And it teaches us how to live right and how to live in this present world. So how many times has the Holy Ghost quickened us in a situation? How many times has the Holy Ghost changed us? How many times has the Holy Ghost changed our lives? We can all speak on this because the Bible says it's unruly and nobody can tame it but our tongue and how we speak. And I can guarantee you everybody's got a filter that I want to say a lot of things that I don't say.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure we're all saying amen.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things I want to say, and I can be right in saying them in my mind, right? I can be right in saying that. I can be scriptural based. I can be right in doing it, but it would maybe bring damage, or maybe we can mislead, or that's just not what God's trying to do, right? We got to be really careful in how we live and how we present ourselves and how we talk to people and treat people. But we've got to realize that in these situations, we are being taught how to act and taught how to respond, and that the Holy Ghost is changing our character and our behavior in these things. This allows us to act different in future circumstances. It's lessons. It's life lessons. Okay, well, I did it this way, and I see the results of that, so now I'm going to do it that way and get a better result. And having the Holy Ghost, you know, that's just the first rung of the ladder. You know, you can go as high as you want to go in the Holy Ghost. You never peak out in the Holy Ghost. We can learn the scriptures. We can learn all these things. We can learn the Bible front and back, but God is constantly shaping us, just like the Bible says in Jeremiah, when he's got the potter in the house with the clay on the wheel. He's constantly shaping that wheel. When that potter comes across a piece of rock in that pottery, he'll pull that rock out, but it'll leave a dent in that pottery, and he's got to shape it back down. And that's the same thing in our lives on the Holy Ghost and what God is doing in our lives. Sometimes he comes across my life, and there's some rough edges. Sometimes he comes across my life, and there's some things that need to get out of the way. And God's got to put pressure down and shape and reshape me to that. And the Holy Ghost changes our character, and thank God for it, because I know how I used to be, and I don't want to go back to that. Amen. But share of a time where the Holy Ghost has quickened you in the Spirit, and what were the results of you being obedient to the Spirit and not your own reasoning? Does anybody have a time, or even if you want to just speak generally on it, but of a time where the Holy Ghost has quickened you in your spirit, and what were the results of you being obedient? I know you got something.
I'll try not to speak every time, all right? Yeah, okay, so there was one time. There was a time that my wife and I both were being unfairly attacked on social media. And your first inclination was to launch back, you know, to really fight back. Then the Holy Ghost spoke up and said, "No, just don't. Just let it lie. Nothing you're going to say is going to change anything about what the person's saying." So we did. We didn't say anything, and eventually the truth comes out. Quicken my spirit. Slow down.
And imagine what would have happened if you were. It would have brought accusation against you, even against the church you attend, so on. That's what we got to think about, is it's not just affecting me and my direct family. It's affecting the church I go to, the job I work at. It's affecting everything in my life on how I represent myself. So
it affects your testimony.
Amen. It does. Your credibility, you know, it affects all that. And people, we're all, you know, we all work with carnal people on our jobs. They're waiting for you to say something. They tempt you to say something. My job all the time, like, man, I promise I'm going to get you to cuss one time. And they would try to make me mad. They would try to say things and all. They're like, they couldn't do it, right? They try to judge your character. They try to come against your character. That's terrible to say that, but it's the truth. Changing our character, the old covenant versus the new covenant. The laws are written on tablets of stone, but now they're written on our hearts. Hebrews 8:10, he said, "I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts." In Ezekiel 36, the Bible says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. On to number two, transformation is fruit. So fruits are the byproduct of Christ-like living. The works of the flesh, we know them. I'm going to go ahead and read them. Galatians 5 and 16. The Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against there is no law." So fruit is spiritual and the byproduct of a healthy vine, which being Jesus. All the fruit has to be developed in our lives. And how do we learn faith when our faith is never tested? Or in your situation, you know, the comforter coming in. How do we know that he's truly the comforter? And I'm not saying that, you know, we want to go through things or, you know, just life, it happens, right? We fight things. We go through experiences. Things happen on our families. Things happen on our jobs. Things happen to our friends. But how can we learn, or how do we learn faith when our faith is never tested? What good is faith if faith is never tested? And, you know, that's very uncomfortable that, you know, be careful how you pray. I guess if you keep praying for faithfulness, God's going to test you and he's going to prove that faithfulness. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for faithfulness, but when you pray for these things, be ready, because God's going to put you through that test. Yeah. How do I know that he's a healer, except maybe I need to be healed, or somebody in my family or somebody I love needs to be healed? Or how can I prove him in these things? But we can't manufacture love. We can't manufacture joy. We can't manufacture these things or these fruits of the Spirit by simply just trying harder. But we develop these traits and we develop these fruits by following Jesus and allowing the Holy Ghost to shape us. So can anybody share an example of how the Holy Ghost developed one of the spiritual fruits in your life? Whether it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Can anybody tell of a situation where maybe God has increased your love or increased your joy, or by God, even your long suffering towards people? You know, that's a big one, having patience with people, faith. But does anybody have, we'll get a couple here, but anybody have an example of how the Holy Ghost has helped you shape one of those fruits into your life? Yes, ma'am.
I've learned a lot of patience by raising Riley. I've learned to have joy in difficult situations. I mean, I could not have done any of this without God.
Amen.
Just the life that we've lived. Riley will be 25 next month. And it has changed the trajectory of my life, but also of who I am as a person. So I have learned, God has shaped so many of those fruits within me. I attribute a lot of it to Riley, raising him.
Amen. Amen. I can say, you know, all of these things, right? God, especially faith, but long suffering is a big one. You know, I always think about, the fruits of the Spirit, or how we act, or I need mercy from God. I need grace from God. I need long suffering from God. I need these things from God. So if not require God of these things, but if I ask God of these things, and I want to make sure that I'm showing these things, that I'm demonstrating these things. I've dealt with a lot of people, man, trying to just get them in the house of God, trying to get them baptized, trying to get them the Holy Ghost, trying to get them to just to live right, you know, going to pick them up for church, and then going all the way to their house, and then they don't even answer the door, and I've driven an hour away or whatever. And you got to realize that people's people, but they don't know what I know. Necessarily, right? They don't feel maybe what I feel, or They haven't been convinced, maybe like I have been convinced. God has proven himself to me. So long suffering in those situations of just continuing just to pour yourself out. You can't get to a place where you just shut down and you stop pouring out into people, because when we stop pouring out into people, we stop growing personally and we stop growing as a church. So long suffering is a big one, and how we treat people, how we build a church, because you can't build a church without long suffering. And we've got to have that fruit in our lives. But anybody else have anything to share about a fruit, an example of how the Holy Ghost has developed a fruit in your life, or how he can develop a fruit in your life? We'll move on. If not, I wish I had the Jeopardy music. I'd play it. I'm going to start doing like my teacher did. I'll just start calling on people.
I will say this. Peace is a big thing.
Amen.
When you have peace in your life and you know that the Lord gives you peace, you can face circumstances, you can face life. Some people say all the time, life is life. And it is. And some people say, we are what we are. I'll agree with life is life, but I don't agree with we are what we are.
Yeah.
God can change that.
Amen.
God can move in our lives. And one of the main things that can help with that is the peace that God gives us when we're walking and living for him. Because there's all kind of things that happens to life. Okay? All of us know that. All of us understand that. But when we can turn around, we can go to bed at night. We can say, God, thank you for the peace that you have given me. And maybe not always understand. We always say peace and understanding. But a lot of times there may not be that understanding. But God does give us that peace.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. And I know we can all think of a situation where peace has got us through, too. Right. Peace has helped us. John 15:4-5, the Bible says, abide in me and I in you. Misspelled that. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. And he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So that's important to realize that, look, we're nothing without God. We're nothing without his direction. Having the mind of Christ, the Holy Ghost is a teacher which illuminates scripture as well as changes our thinking and perspective. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So how important is it to our spiritual growth and development to have the mind of Christ? And how detrimental is it to not have the mind of Christ? And that's a question for anybody, but how important is it to our spiritual growth and development to have the mind of Christ?
So I feel like this is both a blessing and a curse, but I can use 95% of the time, I can see both sides of a coin. You know, you have some people say, well, I see what you're saying. Well, I have the ability to go a little deeper, and I can truly understand how what they're saying is affecting them. And when I think about on the spiritual side, when I think about I'm supposed to be Christ-like and how's he seeing things, that kind of changes who you are and how you see things, or it should change how you see situations. And so having a Christ-like mind is going to totally change every thought process you have.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
I know what my mind is. I don't want that. I want what God wants.
Right.
So his way is the right way. I know that I've messed it all up, and you know he's Alpha and Omega, and I want to have that mind. I don't want the limitations of what I have. And a lot of times when I'm praying, I ask Christ for God to give me his eyesight to see people how he sees them.
Amen.
To see the brokenness, to see the hurt, to see, you know, to have spiritual understanding of what the people around me are going through.
Amen. That's deep too, because I definitely don't want what my mind wants, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So I kind of look at it like Jesus came down and went through 33 years, experienced things, so he could say, I went through it. So I feel that the trials that we're put through in life, good and bad, is really the same thing as he did in his 33 years. Is he's putting it on us, which he don't give us no more than what we can handle. But because we went through it, now we can reach out to other people. And we're not, yeah, like Willie was saying, some people hear something and they think, well, you could do this, but unless you lived through it or seen it, you have a different perspective. You know what I'm saying? But so with the trials that we go through in life, we might have them bumps in the road, but I think the end game is Jesus is showing us things that happen so we have a better understanding when we do talk to other people or see other people struggle. We're not, yeah, judging them because we lived through it. But
yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
No, I agree.
In my head, I know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying too. But, and think about it. You know, if people that struggle with addiction, you know, it's real. You know, some people can't relate to that. You know, we can still talk about it and we can still help them through that. But deep down, genuinely, you don't really know what they feel like except you have been addicted. And that's just an example or something that we've gone through. I haven't been through what you've gone through, so I don't know how to. I can help somebody through the scriptures and through the spirit in that, but I don't know how to really one-on-one, like really like, man, I was there. I lived what you're going through kind of thing. Right. But having the mind of Christ, you know, goes, all these things kind of tie in, you know, I just spoke about it, but you know, talking about my ways are not God's ways. His ways are much higher than mine, and allowing the Holy Ghost to shape us and to lead us allows us to have that mind of Christ. You know, you think about the saying, everybody would wear the braces, WWJD, right? You got sometimes you got to think about that. Like, man, what would really God do in this situation? How would God handle this? And I can tell you right now, it's a lot better for you to sit back and to process and to think before immediately speaking. Think about, let the Holy Ghost lead you in a situation, because, man, this flesh gets out of control quick. Yes, sir.
So you just said something that reminded me. God puts us through trials and tribulations for reasons. And then when you get through these trials and tribulations, you have a different faith, like Brother Bowman was talking about with his son. You have a different understanding. You have a different trust in God. You have a different faith. And God puts us through these situations to guide us to help others as well.
Yeah.
If you've been through cancer and you've been healed from cancer, when you know somebody has cancer, this is why God put you through it. He put you through that because you had the faith to get through cancer, to go, yep, help somebody else, yep, get through their cancer, or to get through their grief, or to get through their... He knew you were strong enough to be a representation of who he is to help somebody else. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
So he gave you the faith to pass that faith on to somebody else. And so you are a representation of the WWJD. What would Jesus do?
And because we have God, we can get through it. Other people may not have that. And so we have, God allows us to get through it. He's with us, we have that comfort. And so we get to talk to people who don't have that and can,
amen,
see that light in us.
And what he is saying is absolutely true. You know, since my son, two other families in this church has come to me, their children was threatening suicide. And God used me to be able to talk to that family and to those children, and thankfully it hasn't happened. So I can relate to them, I can let them know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It makes you an intercessor.
That's right.
When people's down on the altar, it just breaks your heart, right? Because you've been there. You know what that felt like. And now you can go to that altar with them, or even in private. It just is what it is. It makes your prayers just more powerful, more genuine, because you just connect with that situation. Amen. Thank you. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the Holy Ghost reshapes our thinking on how we view relationships, on how we view money, on how we view power, and it creates new behavior in us. Proverbs 3:5, says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. So we have to learn to take everything to God and to not trust in our own understanding. If we seek God's counsel, then he will direct our paths. And it is vital to us to have the mind of Christ in all we do and allow the Holy Ghost to direct our thoughts. 1 Corinthians 2:12-16. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Number four, I believe it is. The Spirit brings conviction. So shaping Christ-like behavior isn't just about adding good habits, but it is also about putting to death the old ones. So what is conviction? What is conviction? We talked about it initially from the beginning. God, God dealing with you about a situation, God bringing your behavior in line with that, and God correcting you through the Holy Ghost. So Romans 8:13-14, the Bible says, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Holy Ghost is a teacher that will bring conviction in our lives concerning our actions in order for us to grow, in order to shape us, in order to increase in us. And the only way for God to increase is I in my flesh has got to decrease. But our nature is evil. My ways, the sister just talked about it. Talked about our minds. I don't want what my mind wants. Because the pastor just that just spoke here just preached about it, about blessed thorns. He preached about the mind and things attacking the mind and all these things. I don't want what my mind wants. I've got to have what God wants, but I also want God to keep convicting me. I want God to keep bringing me under subjection and keep pruning me and keep getting me to where he wants me to be at. But my nature and our nature is carnal, and we must be born of the Spirit. We've got to be obedient to the Holy Ghost and allow it to teach us, even when it goes against our very nature. And it will. It will go against directly your nature. Conviction is God's grace in our lives, and it is what ultimately changed us. And thank God for conviction, because if it wasn't for conviction, how would I know how to live right? How would I know what is right and what is wrong? And, it goes back to what we talked about, but it's our internal compass. The Holy Ghost is basically your conscience on steroids, if you want to just put it that way. It's driving you. It's leading you. It's teaching you. It's molding you. That's why I'm telling you, all day long, the Holy Ghost is dealing with me. All day long, the Holy Ghost is speaking to me. It's leading me. It's directing me. It's guiding me. And I want to be able to walk into a room and command that room because of the Spirit of God. I want God's favor on my life. But we can't grow without conviction. We can't grow without letting the old things die, letting the old man die. So conviction is necessary for us to grow spiritually. Can you tell us, or can anybody tell of a time where conviction of the Holy Ghost has shaped your behavior? Or how can, just so you don't have to get personal, or how can conviction of the Holy Ghost shape your behavior?
Well, I'm a Yankee.
We'll forgive you.
And so a lot of times, I grew up that you had something to say, you just say it.
That's right.
And you didn't worry about the consequences. You just said it because it was on your mind. And the more I've grown in God, and the more I've now I still do say stuff. But I've noticed myself, God, if I say something now that I wasn't supposed to say, I'll get quickened in the Holy Ghost and say, you should have kept your mouth shut there. And so God has really kind of helped me along the way to not run my mouth as much. And I know that sounds silly, but I mean, it's the truth. I mean, because sometimes you can say something that really hurts somebody, and even not in meaning to, just say it and you not meaning to hurt somebody. And, God has put conviction in my heart on saying certain things, not meaning to hurt somebody. He's like, you you could have hurt them, you need to apologize to them, or the way I said it, or my tone, or, you know, something like that. So personally, that's what God's done for me with conviction and just me just saying something to people.
Yeah. Amen.
He's digging me a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go ahead and move on after that one. The Spirit brings conviction. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And lastly, community over isolation. We need the church, and we need each other for spiritual growth. We need the church, and we need each other for spiritual growth.
Can yes. We back up just a second.
Which just to
there's a line here that says conviction is necessary for us to grow spiritually, and that is true. If you don't have something that you're grounded in to tell you right from wrong, how can you grow?
Right.
What compass do you use to know what road you're supposed to take or what road you're supposed to be on without conviction? So if you feel bad, you don't, because you are getting convicted. No, be happy you're getting convicted, because when you get point that you don't feel that, you're in trouble.
Right. Amen.
You've lost your moral compass at that point.
And it's grace. The way I look at it, conviction is grace. That's God giving you an opportunity. So I thank God for conviction, and I've prayed that I feel like 1,000 times now. God, convict me. God, deal with me. Deal with my heart. Don't let my sins follow me after, as the Bible says. But God, deal with me now. Convict me now. Whatever it takes, deal with me. But you're right, it brings forth growth, and it's the only thing that can, because if we go off of our thoughts, our mind, you know, like we've already discussed, that's going to lead me nowhere. I've got to have the Holy Ghost to lead me and to guide me, because man's morals or man's, we have natural laws, right? In our, that's yeah. just in us, like on how to treat people and how to do things, but that's not good enough. You know, we need to be good people, but the Holy Ghost is truly what shapes us. It truly what gets us to the next level and allows us just to grow in God. So community over isolation. Again, we need the church and we need each other for spiritual growth. So how does the Holy Ghost shape us? And this is just a question for everybody. How does the Holy Ghost shape us in our community? You know, I guess I can answer it so we can move quickly. We only got a couple minutes, but we talked about kind of how we do represents not only us, but represents our church, represents, you know, our jobs. You know, I've seen people put things on Facebook about their jobs and they got terminated, right? Because of their comments, you know, like, so how we act in this world, the world is watching us. When we're wearing that Christian Life Center t-shirt out in public, or if you're at a restaurant, you're being rude to people and you hand them a church card, forget about it. Like, yeah. They're probably not going to come. There's a chance, but how we treat people, it's not just acting out in public out of showcasing or out of putting on a front or a facade. You know, the important things are what we do really in private, but we still need to act right. We need to act right in our communities. We need to represent our church. We got a lot of eyes on our church. A lot of people watch our live services. I'm here because of the live services. I checked this church out before I came, you know, before we moved. I watched a couple months of services on how the pastor acted, how he carried himself, how he spoke, how he treated people, from what I could see through the screen, right? On how people spoke, on what the messages were. Like, I analyzed all that and I watched all that. And there's somebody out there doing the same exact thing that I did. So we have got to be on our best behavior. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 4 through verse 11, see if I can read this quickly. It's actually a lot. That's a lot here. 1 Corinthians 12 and 4. But it talks about the body. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and then interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So it's important to know that, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The gifts that God has given me or that has given you, it is not for me. It is for the church. He did not give us the gift of healing or tongues interpretation for us to be silent and to be in isolation. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. We have not been taught by the Holy Ghost to stay silent. We all have testimonies. We all have knowledges. We all have revelations in the Word of God that has been shared to us to strengthen us, but we ought to be sharing those things, sharing our testimony to strengthen the body of Christ. Because everybody's different in gifts, everybody's different in administrations, everybody's different in operations and different backgrounds, but we are all one body and we are all knit together to grow the house of God. Ephesians 4 and 11, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. These offices, you know, these talents that God has given us, these things that God is putting in our minds, everybody in here has got something that they can do that can strengthen the body of Christ. Whatever that is, if you play and you sing, if you preach, if you teach, if it's just to be an encouraging word to somebody, we've got to be knit together as one body in Christ, because if we're in one mind and if we're in one accord, look what happened on the day of Pentecost. Different denominations came together, different diversities, different backgrounds. They all came together in one mind and one accord, and the Holy Ghost swept through that place. Now, we see the Holy Ghost moving in our church every single service, and it's powerful, but there's always a next level that we can get to. And we've got to believe that the Holy Ghost is sending us into community over isolation. But all of these ministries have one thing in common, and that's perfecting the saints. Our job, once we get the Holy Ghost, is to first allow it to teach us to live godly, and second, to be a witness to others. So we build the church together, and we grow together. You know, it's our initiative for this year. We gather together, we grow together, we go together. That's the church's initiative, and community over isolation works every time. We can't be isolated. I can't just be back here in my own world doing my own thing. I've got to be involved with my church. I've got to be involved with everybody in here, with one another. We've got to be there to support one another. And the Holy Ghost can grow in me by doing that. And the Holy Ghost can grow in you by doing that. And it teaches us things. Then we learn about each other. I've met people. There's still a ton of people here that I have no idea who people are. I shake their hands and just brother, sister, because I just, I don't, you know, that's the easy out. That's the easy out. But it doesn't mean I don't love the people or care for the people. I just haven't had time to really sit down and really meet them. But the people that I have met, I've learned things they liked. I've learned some of their backgrounds. I've heard of some of the struggles, and we've all got similarities, right? There's some wonderful people in this church, and we've got to be involved in community over isolation. Lastly, Hebrews 10 and 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You know, we hear the scripture, especially those that have been in church for a long time, like, don't forsake the assemblings of the house. Don't, you know, and I believe that we need to be in church every time the doors are open. That's how I was taught. That's how I was when I was taught under the ministry. Every time the doors are open, whether it doesn't matter what, if it's a singing, if it's a kid's life takeover, if it's whatever, if the church is putting it on, I feel obligated to be there because it supports community. It supports the church. Even if I don't have anything to do with it, even if I'm just sitting back in the crowd, I'm just sitting in the congregation, it means a lot to those people that's putting on these things. Yes, it means a lot to each other that you are invested, that you are showing up for them, even if you don't have anything invested in it. It's always community over isolation. And I know we're right on time. I'm definitely not going to be the teacher to keep us going over and y'all give me a bad review, but it's important to allow the Holy Ghost to shape us, to grow us, and to increase in us. But we have to decrease for God to increase in our lives. I mean, thank everybody for coming. You know, we've got service here at 11 o'clock. Let's allow the Holy Ghost to lead us. If you feel the need to go pray for somebody, then let's get out of our comfort zone and go pray for people and get involved. Thank y'all for coming.